The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome on in. Good Tuesday. We have Jody Jackson joining us today on Zoom from Cronkite. Jody and I are going to be at odds with each other later this week on Thursday. It will be her son's high school, Corona del Sol, against my son's high school, Castile, playing football. And her son is doing very well on the football field. We're going to do somewhat of a tutorial from Jody to you on what she's gone through as a high school football quarterback's mom, and get caught up with her on things that she sees around the Coyotes. She's been down to the Mullet and the things that she does over at Bally Sports Arizona. So Jody Jackson will be with us. Fabs is on board. So Michael Fabiano, we do every Tuesday, Fantasy Football, the Hall of Famer, SI.com, SiriusXM, Fantasy Dirt, none better than Fabs. The Josh Allen injury, a lot in the mailbag. And do you pick up Kenny Pickett and your fantasy teams with the playoffs? About 7-8 weeks away. So Fabs with us. That is all coming up. Today, we're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. I am done up today because I am emceeing the Battle of Arizona Avenue. I love doing community events, and today is one of the very good ones. Not that there aren't bad ones. It's just, it's Hamilton against Chandler. I've emceed this event through the years. Players that have gone on to the NFL, high school, college. It's fun. It's in downtown Chandler. It's a well-organized event by the Chandler Rotary Club. There'll be a couple hundred people there, business leaders and that. And I enjoy doing those. Doesn't matter if it's 5,000 or 5 or 500 or 50. Doesn't matter. Being involved in the community is a big part, and I very much look forward to that. So I have that going on today. Now, in terms of the sports news today, I watched the Suns last night, and they lost, and I'm not one that's going to sit here and analyze five takeaways. Here's five takeaways from the Suns' November loss to Philadelphia that you'll never, ever remember when it gets to playoffs. Okay, I'll play along. You know, Cam Johnson didn't play last night. Chris Paul had what looked like a heel issue, sounded like a heel issue from the broadcaster. So heel soreness. And yet the Suns were sitting there fighting and scrapping. And yet Joel Embiid took it to DeAndre Ayton again, 33 points last night. Suns lose, are off today. They play at Minnesota tomorrow. The general manager's meetings are in Vegas for Major League Baseball, and the Diamondbacks are in an interesting spot. The headline so far has been Ohtani is not going to be traded here in the offseason. Not that I expected the Diamondbacks to get involved in that by any stretch of the imagination. It's just, are we going to sit here again in this offseason and not see a whole heck of a lot happen that's of interest? When you see what Diaz got in New York for the Mets, a $100 million contract, and here the Diamondbacks are with a bullpen that just wasn't good last year, the price of doing business on the back end of a team has now gone up astronomically here in the last 24 to 48 hours since the Diaz deal came down. And you know, what does Mike Hazen do on that front? So the general manager's meetings are in Vegas this week. The winter baseball meetings are in San Diego the 1st of December. And we'll follow that. I sat here in my man cave last night and watched Arizona State struggle in their opener of the basketball season. I was one of the five out of the Pac-12 network. And that was mighty Tarleton State that gave them a push. ASU won by 3. They have NAU on Thursday night. And I'm not going to sit here and make fun of Bobby Hurley and his team. It's the first game with a whole new cast of characters. Like, I was impressed with how U of A came out because I watched them afterwards. I was slipped between them, the Suns, ASU, and GCU last night. Didn't care about Baltimore, New Orleans. Didn't care, even though I had fantasy players on. But U of A came out last night, and Tubelis was, man, was he good. Whew. And that's a program that doesn't look like it was their opening game. It looked like a program that was playing Nickel State and doing what they're supposed to do. GCU trailed big against Montana State at home. Doesn't usually happen to the Lopes, but it was their season opener too, and they had to struggle to get it done. This is the early season. We have so many players that have left their programs, and it's a brand new roster. There's not the familiarity that we are used to seeing with these programs, especially here in our state. Now, U of A lost three guys to the NBA draft. To think that they're going to be solid and sturdy from day one, that's why last night was impressive on their part. That's some of what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Up next, Jody Jackson from Cronkite. We'll catch up with Jody on a lot of things, as we like to do with the great Jody Jackson. That's next. All right, as promised, the Dukes are up. It is on this week. It's Corona del Sol with Jody Jackson's son, and it's Castile with my son, Cole. It's his senior night, so I'm going to be bawling my eyes out when I see Jay at the game on Thursday because it's going by like a flash. Jody is at Cronkite because she – what are you teaching at Cronkite?
I teach JMC 220, which is broadcast voice and delivery. Ooh. Which no does not mean, you know, that I have the most fantastic voice ever, but there's a lot of techniques and things about taking your time, slowing down, how to deliver live shots, anchoring, all that good stuff that you do all the time from you remember too, back when you were radio, TV, you know, sometimes it's a little more stressful than from our homes these days, but especially when they're young. So I'm here and I teach it on Tuesday mornings.
Do you tell anybody your voice is not going to work? You better get out, get into selling insurance, something.
I really do not, unless there's a major, major, major problem, in which case I still would not say that. I really wouldn't, because I've seen crazier things, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But if they need someone with more expertise than myself, like a speech therapist, then I do recommend that, because that is something I am not. But most of the kids that I have had just things where they can just tweak it and get to where they need to be on the air.
Are you critiquing my voice? Is there anything I need to change? Because I had somebody in high school that told me, don't do broadcast. Your voice is too squeaky and you're playing. Why would you want to go into broadcast? And thankfully I didn't listen to them. Is there anything I need to change?
You can't, to me, why shatter someone's dream, especially when I have seen people get on the air. Brad, your voice is just fine, number one. And you know, you and I, being in this business a long time, have the gift of something that comes with experience, which is acting natural and talking in a natural tone. So the hard part is, you know, telling young people who want to hang on to a script and who want to sound kind of anchory, but like, we don't really want that, right? But like, I understand you kind of have to go through that to maybe get out to the other side of it.
When I hear the play-by-play person that wants to tell you how great the game is, it's just, they just need raps, right?
Yeah, and I think sometimes young people, they think they want that, you know, persona. And I said, you know, number one is also be yourself. Just be who you are.
Sure. So. I love it when I see you and hear about you being out, being a high school mom. You and I have talked about this through the years as you've gotten together with me, the gift of gab that you have, but you're enjoying being a mom, but you're a mom of a quarterback. So now that you've gone through a varsity season with mom as quarterback, how have you handled it, Jody? Have you had moments of like, the person behind me, I'm going to smack them? Or this message board, you are so far wrong, I'm going to come after you. Have you had some of those moments?
Well, you know, this is Connor's second year, actually starting as a sophomore and starting, pretty much all season. And then this year, I mean, I'm just proud of him. I think he's done well. I mean, honestly, you know, I'm kind of that cynical media person where I'm like, all right, show me, you know? And so he's done an incredible job. And, I am very loud. Like when we're on defense and everything, I'm just that fan and I'm always yelling for all the kids. I mean, I'm really yelling for all the kids all the time. I do. I'm that yelling mom, yeah. But thankfully it's mostly been positive. I mean, you know, last year as a 15-year-old starting on varsity, and yes, there were some struggles, I think early on, but, he's handled it great. So I really haven't had, it's been nothing but enjoyable. So
is your house the house where all the kids come over?
It kind of is at times. Yeah. And then my friend, you know, my daughter's a freshman too. So she's got some friends that live close to the school. So they'll go there sometimes. They'll go walk over there. And, mm-hmm. But it is a fun, we have food and you know how important that is. But if we don't have food, the other day, I'll tell you a funny story. Some of the boys came over on the Wednesday, So the week before they had ordered pizza and the pizza was there and we had just chips and stuff. And so then I was there unknowingly, these boys just come walking in the door and they're like, is there pizza today? I was like, I mean, I can order some, and they were like, oh, they came and sat down. They're like, and then they walked back out. And I was like, man, I better have the pizza.
Short, you know,
right on time.
Yeah, they're going to say, you know, Connor's mom did not have it together. What is going on?
Yeah, but you know this with the boys. Just real, I mean, it's so much fun and seeing, and some of them, it's not just the ones they've played together since they were 6 years old on the flag team. It's not just those kids, but it's those kids. It's the kids that you meet at freshman year, maybe kids that join sophomore year. And it's, I mean, we have such a great group, and I'm sure that you guys do over at Castile also. I'm sure all these high schools do. It's such a neat thing. And it's really unique because my husband posts this as a guy who's coached kids for a long time. It's like high school football is the one thing you can never get back. Yep. You know, you can go play a pickup basketball game. You can play tennis. You can go play soccer. Maybe you can go play softball in an adult league. You can't just go play football later in life.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. And this is so much fun for these guys. And some of them won't play. Most won't play after high school. So it's, you kind of watch them as a parent. You're like, this is so neat to see how they band together.
Yeah. I'm emceeing Battle of Arizona Avenue later today. It's the ninth year I've done this, and it's Chandler against Hamilton. They each bring five kids, and it's at a Rotary, and there's about 200 business people. And these boys show up with their clip-on ties, which is fine. Or some of them need help tying their ties, which is fine. And I tell them, you know, this is as good as it gets. Yeah, you may play them in the playoffs again, but nobody has something put together like this for the 10 of you kids that are here today. And
yeah, it's really unique, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's fun. Is your son getting recruited?
You know, we've been talking to some schools. He's been talking to them, I should say. He has not had any offers as of yet, but I feel like that will come based on the performance. He's definitely had a great performance this season. He's almost at 2,000 yards passing, 20 touchdowns or so, 21 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, you just watch him. I think he's really capable of operating an offense. So I think, you know, again, Brad, even though you think I would be the expert at this, honestly, my husband and my son handle, you know, Connor handles a lot of it, emailing. He emails the coaches every week. And I have not really been all that involved with it, to be honest with you. So,
but you know, that's cool. I get it.
Yeah. So I'm confident that, you know, he would like to play, of course, at the next level somewhere, somehow. And I feel like that will happen for him. He's a junior, so, you know, I think he's still got a little bit of time, but I think it's also a case of that process of getting noticed or having, you know, people take notice of what you're doing. And, but right now it's all about, you know, the bottom line is, and this is true, is just winning the games, getting to the playoffs,
right,
where they land. So
is he, are you as a family, and if this is too personal, just tell me, are you as a family fine wherever he goes, or are you, if he doesn't go Power Five, you know, we're, something's wrong?
Because to be honest, we're just looking, when you're in that position and trying to, you know, I look at him and the way he's engaging with all these schools. We went to visit some schools over the summer, and I think he's looking at everything out there. So no, there's nothing wrong with any of these, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with any of these schools. I mean, I want him, of course, to get that great education.
Yep.
and do what he wants to do in life, which he's, you know, starting, he's taking the college prep class. So he's looking closer at that. And, you know, he's doing all those things to be ready to take, you know, get those test scores and do all those things. So certainly, no, everything's on the table, and everything's, you know, I think he'd be excited about anything coming his way.
I'm asking questions because a lot of the audience that is going to watch this, or that I found through the years, a mom of a quarterback in high school can sometimes just not know what to do, how to go about it. And you're right in the middle of the mix. And I would say you are the 1/100th of 1% of just normal.
It's not a red wave. Ooh. Something went wrong. So that's part of why.
Can you end this?
So
I hope.
To remind people.
This is a Cronkite. This is live.
Open the. They just put on the TV.
Oh, did they kill it?
Like,
did you go over and smack them? It's live. It's fine. You know, stuff happens. No, but I guess what I'm wondering is.
I can't really move for you. Sorry.
It's okay. Did you have other moms that you've spoke to about this, or are you just going through the process? One and two, let's be honest, you're a split household. You're a hurricane, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and
hurricane. I'm owning that, even though there were high hopes.
Awful this year, man.
Well, you know, you get closer and closer to the college level, and you see people, you know, you see their kids go off, and you see which ones are successful and which ones maybe are not. And, you know, so honestly, I haven't talked to a lot of parents. I'm starting to do that. And talk about success stories. So but why not talk to people that have had successful kids? Sure. Carrie Purdy, and I know you know that family well, Sean Purdy, who's also a hurricane. But we recently were at a wedding actually, and we got to talk to each other a little bit more. And, you know, it's just interesting to hear their take and their side of things. And I can't think of, you know, when you think about Brock and Chuba and how they went through their process and how they just went through high school, staying the course, committed, working hard, focused on what they want. And I think listening to them just talk was kind of reassuring that, you know, you just keep working, you just keep at it. And obviously they've got a lot going on in the side of successful football. When you think of Brock with the 49ers now and Chuba at Nebraska. So that's just one couple that I can think of that Chad and I have had the chance to talk to, but you know, there have been a lot of other parents that have kids in other sports and different things. And you know, you just realize it feels like this big unknown world. And then the more you talk to people, I think it's just a little more reassuring that, you know, it's just like anything. You don't just look at the mountain and say, oh my God, how do I tackle that? You kind of just chip away, you talk to people, and it's really something that becomes much more like get your mind around it a little better.
That's good stuff. That's really good stuff on the Purdy's. And, you know, obviously, you know, Kurt Warner, and there's people that you could reach out to within your world of quarterbacks, but you're just enjoying
it. I talked to Kurt a little bit this year too. And boy, I mean, again, his kids are doing great. And EJ, you know, didn't have a ton of interest. I mean, I guess I don't really know how much interest he had coming out of Brophy, but like, he's putting up really good numbers at Temple, and he knew he could operate an offense, and he knew he could make good decisions and deliver the ball, you know, and those things don't wane. Those things are, you know, when you have that ability, and it's with Kurt, it's always a mental game because he's seen some of the things, you know. I wanted, actually, right before he started his NFL Network duties, there was a chance maybe they could work together. He was working with some local quarterbacks, and I kind of just missed that window. And I think it's also cool, just to be honest, is like Connor loved him when he was Connor was little, really, right. Really little, and he would walk around going, "Kurt Warner, Kurt Warner," had the jersey, the Super Bowl jersey that I brought him back from Tampa, you know, the whole thing. And so it's like, I think that would be kind of neat, but he's big on the mental game. And until, you know, he doesn't know till he would work with Connor, but Connor to me has that. So that's something that, you know, physically you have to have the physical tools, but you have to have the mental tools as well. So, and I think that's what his kids are showing right now, is that, you know, as a quarterback, especially EJ, you know, that's something you really have to have. And if you're special in that category, it will show.
A couple of things to get you out of here, and one more on your son, and that is the space of quarterback coaches, gurus, training on Saturdays. Have you guys gone down that space, and what have you learned? What advice would you give to people that are in that space of finding a quarterback coach to go work with your son, or is it just dad and son?
Well, my husband, being an O lineman, wasn't, you know, really the quarterback guru per se, although. As you know, a guy who played center, they know a lot about what happens in an offense, and they know good quarterbacking when they see it. But he's been working with Mike Giovando for many years, since he was little, maybe nine. But we all know a lot of guys in town that work with, you know, Dan Minucci, mm-hmm. works with quarterbacks. I'm leaving out a ton of people. There's probably
Rudy Carpenter does work.
Donovan McNabb is the guy that Connor worked with a little bit. You know, he enjoys hearing different things, different ways you can play the position. So we've been real happy with what Gio has done. There's a camaraderie there with the guys in town. I think Connor enjoys that too. The these players that are out there on Friday nights, and then they come together on a Sunday and they get to talk about different things. And all these kids are, you know, now juniors and seniors. So it's a lot of fun also. But yeah, I think just parents can know these guys are out here. Arizona has a lot of different guys that have had successful, whether it's coaching or been a quarterback themselves. So you just got to find that right fit, who you like as a parent.
Are you good on time? I can keep going. I'm good, but I want to get to two other things before you have to go. Do you have to go, or are you good?
No, I'm good right now, I think.
All right, well, let's keep going. The Coyotes, what do you make of the mullet? What do you make of the arena so far?
I really like the mullet. I think it's really unique. Obviously, again, when they say no bad seat, it's true, no bad seat. When I first got there, it was almost kind of weird. It was like, oh, wow, I'm going to be just driving down. It's more than down the street, but it had this real homey atmosphere. I'm like, wow, this is where we'll be coming for the next few years for all the home games. So I really have enjoyed it. And it is very loud when the Coyotes are, or, you know, obviously you have another team in there. Like when the Rangers were in, it was let's go Coyotes, let's go Rangers. It was kind of crazy, but that the players really enjoy that energy, and they miss that. As much as Gila River Arena was a fine NHL arena, and there were some great moments there over the years, and it was an NHL arena, and this, you know, this is something that's a college arena, so there are challenges, but the players really love that energy of the fans being into it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they've been wanting and haven't had a lot of it over the years, just because it's been such a big arena that, you know, Gila River's seating 19,000 people. So
right. When the Red Wings come to town and the Blackhawks come to town, it's going to be a Blackhawk or Red Wing home game, right? Or did you find with the Rangers, it really wasn't that bad? I've been to the Mullet for an ASU game, and I really liked it. Really, really liked it. Easy to get in, easy to park, found a seat, great seat. Food's right there. Get in, get out. I'm happy. But when these
get out, really, I was the first day. I was like, oh, wow, this place clears out quick when you're talking about, you know, 4,800 people.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the Ranger fans were loud. You know, again, there's teams that, and it's the same with every team in town, right? That's just the market we live in. I'm from Miami. It was the same way in Miami. You live in a dynamic city. You have a lot of people coming in. So, yeah, I mean, you always, but there's always an amount of Coyotes fans, you know, and we know that they're passionate. So it's always kind of a back and forth. Now, the other night when they played the Panthers, it was really all filled. I did not see any Panthers fans. I mean, I'm sure there were some, but me, I grew up a Panthers fan because that's where I'm from.
That's where you're from.
Hockey I saw live, but yeah, I mean, when it's not one of those sort of iconic teams where you've got that big fan base, it's very much all for the Coyotes, which is nice.
Over on the Diamondback side, because of course at Bally Sports, you do the pre and the post and you're in there reporting during the games as well. Is anything with the Diamondbacks either that you saw during the season? I ended up being optimistic. I'll be interested to see just how far they do go in this offseason in terms of chips on the table or continuing the slow rebuild. I'm a fan of Torrey's. Where are you at on the baseball team?
Yeah, I'm excited for what they can do. Of course, they need to add some pieces. It'd be nice to see them add a little bit of offense. I know there were some comments Monday, you know, early this week with Mike Hazen. And frankly, I haven't really read all of those yet. Yeah. I think Nick Pecoro had caught up with him. I'm not sure if others had as well as they prepare for the winter meetings and all of that. So I know philosophically, though, talking to Mike Hazen in his final end of season press conference, the bullpen was number one. Yeah. Not easy to fix, though, because, again, every year you're piecing together with, you know, Edwin Diaz getting $100 million. That's not normal. It's not, you know, expected, because bullpen pieces, frankly, they do. There's only like a handful of elite guys. It's really hard. Most of them have ebb and flow, right? Baseball players in general, there's so many games, there's ebb and flow, but you don't really see a reliever. We haven't lately, Chapman before Diaz, but you know, that's not really realistic to spend that type of money, but you have to, again, they'll be tested on how smart they are going to be patching together a bullpen with some veteran guys, maybe some new guys. They would like to cultivate guys in the program, you know, develop those guys. That's the goal, and they've been clear about that more than ever, but that takes time. So And then, you know, maybe, and then adding a bat, they have so many lefties. So adding a right-handed bat. So I think that those will be the things that they need to go out and do, but you know, we'll see if these young pitchers can hold up. There's always some bumps in the road, but what we saw at the end of last year was, I think, much better than anyone expected with Dre Jameson, Ryan Nelson, and Tommy Henry was up and down, but Tommy Henry looks pretty promising. So
I will see you Thursday. I will walk on the field with Chris and Cole, and then I will just be a blubbering mess, and then I'll come find you. Or you can be over there laughing at me trying to...
I do the announcing for senior night at Corona the last few years, and it always amazes me how quickly it does go by. And then to think of myself out there next year. Yes. So I don't know what you're going to feel, but I can only imagine. And especially Cole being your youngest, you're going to be a mess. I'll bring the Kleenex for you.
That is fine of you. That is nice of you. Sneak me a glass of wine in the parking lot or something. So what are you teaching today? What is on the agenda in this class where I get you out of here? People want to know, what is it today Jody Jackson is going to tell her class at Cronkite?
Action-packed class today. We're going to go over articulation.
Articulation.
Articulation, yes.
Roll your lip.
We have a jam-packed class because we're going to cover articulation and the start of live shots.
Oh, fun.
I love live shots because
anything can happen.
It's the best. That's the key is, you know, how do you describe what's going on in a scene, right? In a moment.
Yes, that's fun. I will let you go off that. I appreciate your time from Cronkite, and I will see you Thursday. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Brad. Enjoy it.
There is Jody Jackson, the professor. Actually, Paula's the professor when she comes on the show. I will just call Jody Jackson from Bally Sports Arizona. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, it's time to talk to Fabs. And, you know, I get all dressed up and Fabs gives me crap before we get the segment started because...
I know. I wish I had known. Like, you know, I just am wearing a polo here. So
you are in the upper quartile of fantasy, if I'm to use Jim Irsay's description.
That was something else yesterday, wasn't it? That was
epic.
I don't know what they're doing, but it's going to be interesting the rest of the year. I don't know how to really describe it.
Anybody with the Colts, are you like, run? Get away. Dude,
it all depends on who the quarterback is. If Sam Ellinger is going to be the quarterback, then yeah, get me out of there.
Yeah.
But if they go back to Ryan or maybe they play Nick Foles, like Ellinger has single-handedly destroyed any value any Colt has. And last week, that team combined on offense scored 35 fantasy points. There were like four players who scored that much alone. So it was not a good week. Now, listen, maybe that's the worst it's going to get. But if Matt Ryan or Nick Foles is not the quarterback in week 10, how much faith can you have in any Colt this coming week?
Well, when you're when you're in the upper quartile, you okay. So the mailbag is just full of Josh Allen. And I think Josh Allen, because this week you have Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson on byes. Mm-hmm. And now you have Josh Allen who may not play. So I have to believe the reason why the mailbag is full of Josh Allen is there's going to be people scrambling all over the place for a quarterback. And, you know, Kenny Pickett, is that where we are? Is that where we are, Fab?
Oh, my gosh. I hope not. I hope there are better options out there. I mean, Garoppolo could have gotten dropped because the Niners were off last week. So, you know, that's certainly going to be a possibility. Boy, I mean –
well, let's start with Josh Allen.
Just Mariota. Daniel Jones got you know, off a bye. He might have gotten cut too. So I think there's better than Kenny Pickett.
Okay, so but let's just go to Josh Allen. He's never hurt. This is like the second time in his career, and it's the same area, the same injury, so to speak. Mm-hmm. If you're an owner of Josh Allen and he goes down, you are blank, right?
Best quarterback in fantasy football. You better have a backup plan. And I know a lot of people out there who have Josh don't really have a number two quarterback because you've never really needed one outside of a bye week. So quarterback may be very important. Josh might play this week. I mean, we don't know. We're not sure yet. I mean, it's not all gloom and doom at this point, but you certainly need to have a backup plan. I don't know that the Bills are going to come out right away on early in the week and say he's not going to play. Mm-hmm. So we've got to wait and see. But, you know, most people run their waivers overnight. You better get a quarterback just in case. And I talked about Justin Fields last week. There's no way he's available in leagues.
Right.
He's phenomenal. He is really coming into his own as a fantasy quarterback and, of course, as a real quarterback as well. I have Josh in one league, and I picked up Justin Fields a couple of weeks ago. So I'm good to go there. Fields almost scored double the amount of points that Josh Allen scored last week. And Allen had two picks, and he hasn't – as a passer the last 2 weeks, he hasn't been great. He's still giving you points, but – boy, I tell you, that is example number one of even if you've got that stud quarterback, you still got to play the waiver wire. You never know what's going to happen. So we're going to have to sit back and see. It could be Case Keenum for the Bills, which drags down the value of everybody in that offense.
Right, right. Well, it's like I'm sitting here with Justin Herbert, and the guy that I've been with for 35 years in fantasy football, I want to fire him because he drafted him, and I'm like, don't take him. But he fell in love with him, and he's just not good. And every week we talk quarterbacks, and I would much rather have Justin Fields. I'd much rather have Justin being stuck with what we're stuck with.
Justin Herbert, I feel like it's not all his fault. The offensive line hasn't been great. You lose your number one wide receiver, and then you lose your number two. Now, last week I still liked him because Atlanta was down starting DBs, so I figured he'd be able to do something. He wasn't able to do anything, and now he's got the Niners.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I don't know how you start Justin Herbert with any kind of confidence right now. He's a guy who averaged 24, 25 points per game heading into this season. I mean, now he's down to 16, 17 points. It's just not been good for Justin Herbert. The only thing coming out of L.A. that's been profitable from a fantasy perspective is Austin Eckler, who's just lighting it up.
The Kenyon Drake fans are out today.
I know. Dude, he won people their week. And Drake has been love or hate for almost his entire career. I mean, you remember him with the Cardinals, with the Dolphins. He's been love and hate. He is a guy that is either putting up numbers or he's giving you stinkers. And against the Saints, and their defense had been pretty tough against running backs, he was phenomenal. Now, the Ravens do have a bye coming up, which means Gus Edwards should be back in week 11.
Right.
So maybe Kenyon Drake's not a guy you can trust moving forward, but certainly a big performance when fantasy managers need him the most.
Okay, so to that end, there's questions in the mailbag about what does Fabs think about the Ravens running back situation, Dobbins' return. You addressed Edwards. You hearing anything on Dobbins' return?
Well, he had surgery.
A one-week deal, you know?
He had surgery. I don't know that Dobbins is going to be back anytime soon. I don't think you can expect to have Dobbins back much before the fantasy playoffs. So I would expect Gus Edwards to be the guy. And even when JK comes back, like that's a committee. Mm-hmm. So Edwards is going to be in the mix. Drake's going to be in the mix. And all of a sudden, you know, the Ravens don't have a great running back, but they've got some pretty good ones. So I would expect a committee when everyone's healthy.
The Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano is with us. You can find him on SI.com, SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt, where he crushes it and kills it every day in the afternoons. You can check his show out on demand at SiriusXM. Questions in the mailbag about Fabs and PJ Walker. I have Lamar Jackson. I'm looking for somebody this week.
I mean, the matchup's good. And he wasn't bad the last time they played Atlanta. He threw for over 300 yards. There's got to be better, though. There's got to be better. So, and I wonder, is he on a short leash because he got benched last week? So I'd be a little concerned about starting PJ Walker. As I mentioned, Daniel Jones had a bye. Maybe he got cut. Garoppolo had a bye. Maybe he got cut. Hell, even Andy Dalton's playing the Steelers. So, and I know Dalton looked like garbage on Monday night, but I mean, it's a good, I'd rather have Andy Dalton than I PJ Walker. Let's put it that way.
Okay. And I'm still getting more questions here as we were talking about Kenny Pickett. So, just forget about Kenny Pickett. It is the same.
No, I'm in a league where I have to start him. Now, is that an ideal scenario? No, it's not. It's a 2QB league. I have to play him. I have no choice. I've got Burrow, and he's on a bye. But I think you can find better options out there. Kenny Pickett, to me, is desperation, which maybe some people are at. I mean, there's only two quarterbacks off this week, so I don't know how desperate you are. Mm-hmm. He's turning the ball over too much. I will say this. George Pickens. That is a guy that if he's available on the waiver wire, in most competitive leagues, not. But if you're in a non-competitive league, get him. Because now he's the two, the unquestioned two after the trade of Chase Claypool. And Pickett loves him. Mm. You look at the targets. Yeah, Deontay Johnson sees the highest end of those targets. but George Pickens gets targeted a bunch, and now Chase Claypool goes away. That could be good. That could be very good news for Pickens. It's of course good for DJ as well. But having Pickens now as the number two, that could elevate his value.
Okay, another question here on the Ravens defense. Ravens defense, they've got Panthers, they've got Steelers. They need actually questions about Ravens and all. I know we touched on Drake. They're on a bye this week. But yeah, looking towards the playoffs and the stretch run, are you starting to look at Ravens players, softer schedule? What do you make out of Baltimore overall looking towards playoffs?
In terms of the offensive side, I think Lamar and Mark Andrews obviously are going to be must starts anytime they're playing. The backfield, as we mentioned, it really depends on who's healthy. And if Gus Edwards is back, I would argue that he's probably the best back to use, with Kenyon Drake being the number two. Devin Duvernay was a dud on Monday night. You know, that was a guy I thought would step up, and he didn't. Nope. But Duvernay is certainly worth a roster spot. There's no question about that. Isaiah Likely also. Funny story, I was playing against Tony Richardson, the former fullback for the Chiefs and Jets in a fantasy league in week 9, and I benched TJ Hockenson to play Isaiah Likely. Mm. And I was down, if I had played Hockenson, I win. I was down 8 points and change. Isaiah Likely catches one pass for a touchdown, scores 9.4 points, doesn't score the rest of the game. No points the rest of the game. And I won by like fractions of a point. So that was a positive outcome for me. But in terms of the defense, I don't know if you're talking about stashing the Ravens defense. I don't like to stash defenses, especially non-elite defenses. Like, I didn't drop the Cowboys last week because they're just so good, or the Eagles when they had their bye. But would I stream the Ravens? Absolutely. Am I going to hold on to them during their bye week? Probably not.
Are you looking ahead to playoffs? I mean, you've got to be with as many leagues as you're in.
You know what? I mean, we're going into week 10. Yeah. So I haven't really looked at playoffs at this point, to be quite honest with you. Now, the trade deadline in a lot of fantasy leagues is coming up. So it's going to be important to look at the strength of schedule for quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends as we get closer and closer. But not at this point. We've still got several more weeks before the fantasy playoffs start. Remember, we have 18 weeks and 17 games that each team is going to play. So fantasy starts in week 15 now. So you still got some time.
All right. Before I get you out of here, I cleared out the mailbag. Anything this week that catches your eye, you like, don't like?
Fields is the guy that has really popped for me in the last couple of weeks. I talked about him on the show last week. His fantasy points have gone up, I think it's 6 straight games. He broke the record for the most rushing yards by a quarterback in a single game. I believe Mike Vick held it before. He's just, right now he's in a groove. He's got the Lions this week. Like, Justin Fields is going to be a top 5 quarterback in fantasy rankings this week. I haven't done my rankings yet, but I promise you he'll be up there. He's not available in most leagues. But if he is, get him. And if you have him, legitimately, you would have to have Mahomes or Josh Allen, if he's active, or Jalen Hurts, to not be playing Justin Fields. That's how good he's been. And he could end up being a league winner for you, because dudes that can run with the football among the quarterbacks are massive. And this guy's on pace for like 1,000 yards on the ground. And Brad, anytime a quarterback rushes for even 700 or 800 yards, they're going to be a top 12 quarterback at worst. And he is really flying up the quarterback rankings, which we need, because quarterback's been really bad. It is insane to think that right now you'd rather have Justin Fields than Justin Herbert, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson. But here we are in 2022, which has been the most bananas fantasy season or NFL season that I can remember.
Good stuff. And of course, you can catch Fabs over on SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt for more content like this. We appreciate his time, the Hall of Famer with SI.com. Have a good week. Thanks.
You too, pal.
And we're back with more after this timeout.